I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
The Medic Shack. Join Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 6th of August. It's a Wednesday, last regular Shooting Bench of the week. Tomorrow, remember, Thursdays is always all gun-related, all gun talk. And always throw in a little bit on militia and a few other odds and ends of things on Thursday nights. Friday, we take a break from all the turmoil here and do some classic country music. I do have some very, very bad news for some of you, especially those that listen to Amy in the morning. With her job coming up and doing what it is, it's hot and she's working hard and she's out, so she is going to have to get started a little earlier in the morning at her job. And so she is, officially as of 30 minutes ago, living way out here is no more until further notice. Now, for the good news, Monday through Wednesday, she's going to be on for a half hour during my show. The second segment from 8:30 to 9 is going to be Amy. We're going to, we'll do the, just like we normally do every morning. And she'll do a lot of the same topics. She's obviously not going to do as many birthdays and all that kind of stuff. She'll limit that a little bit so she can get a couple of stories in. But we'll get to hear that that angelic voice talking to us for a half hour on Monday through Wednesday. Now, this may change after the weather changes. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a break for her. The show has been a little bit of a struggle for her anyway, having to get up and take care of all of her household chores and duties around here and get ready for her show. She's always afraid that nobody listens and she's not like it. I said, well, it's because it's that time of day. There's not that many listeners that time of day. So anyway, it'll be a welcome relief for her. She needs it. And she'll still be with us Monday through Wednesday. So that means that her full podcast will be over with for the time being until... I think that could very well change after the time changes and cold weather sets in. Of course, time doesn't change for us here in Arizona anyway, but it changes for everybody else. So... she may want to do just the opposite after it gets a little cooler. She may say, well, I'd rather get out there at, 9 or 10 o'clock after the sun has come up a little bit and the horse poop's starting to melt. It's frozen to the ground. So that may change. But there will be no living way out here tomorrow for those of you that are expecting to jump up and get started with Amy. So... All right, let's move on here to different things. A lot of you, I know Wright's at risk. That's what I told her. But, it's she's got to do what she's got to do. And I still think that when the cold weather comes, that she'll come back in the mornings. But, or maybe, I don't know, we'll work it out. But... nevertheless, we're still going to hear her for a half hour Monday through Wednesday, so we just have to take what we can get and be thankful for it, I guess. But, all right. They have the shopping channel and the cooking channel and all this kind of stuff. Well, we may soon be privileged to have the Obama channel. Maybe not so much privilege, but anyway, you guys have read the story, I'm sure. What was it, George Orwell, 1984? Well, he had the wrong date, but the concept was sound. We're looking at maybe the FCC is considering now an emergency system that would give the president, which at this time point in time is Osama, with the flip of a switch, give the president can speak to the entire country. He's going to take over the airways in just a blink of an eye. And he would have been, or may, if this goes through, he will be what in 1984 was the, remember the big voice system that did just exactly that, that let the president talk to everybody at any time they wanted to, just to get propaganda out. And it appears that we may be doing that very thing here if this passes. This, to me, is... I keep thinking that the last straw is going to show up here at some point. That the straw, the straw that broke the camel's back is being applied here. But evidently, everybody's okay with this kind of stuff. So what's going to happen? The president's going to flip a switch. All the TV channels and all this stuff in the is going to go to the Obama channel. And what, I'm not sure what his purpose for this, well, I do. He's an egotistical, arrogant prick is what it is. That's the problem, is he wants to get out there. He can't just tell everybody, okay, this is the message that I want to get out. Would you take care of this for me? Or hopefully everybody will watch my address tonight. No, he wants to say, you're going to listen whether you like it or not. I'm going to flip this switch and I'm going to start talking. And everybody in the country, if you're in your car, if you're watching TV, if you're listening to the radio, it's going to be me. And that's going to be so awesome. Yeah, that's right, Amy. Amy just hollered in there. Saying, Amy will always be with us, even if she's hollering from the kitchen. But she said, like, V for Vendetta. Remember that? Did you watch that movie? Awesome show, by the way. If you haven't seen it, I strongly, with strong as possible terms that I can, awesome movie. So in V for Vendetta, they had they flip a switch and you know, TV, radio, loudspeakers out on the street. You could not escape this voice. Watch V for Vendetta if you haven't seen it. So let me turn this fan away from me. I think you guys are probably hearing that a little bit. All right, that's better. So anyway, we'll see how this goes. I'd like to say I'm a little skeptical, but that this is going to go through. But I'm really not, because all he's got to do is what he's done so many times with so many other agencies. He's going to say, look, this is the way it is. You want to disappear? You want your family to disappear? You're going to do this, or it's not going to go well for you. You want to keep your job? Your career mean anything to you? Make it happen. So I think... Oh, by the way...
Yeah, I didn't get to tell him today.
This is... please. Amy didn't get to tell you today because she had to leave early to get over there and do the horse thing because she was going to over to Luna afterwards. What she was going to tell you this morning is that today is National Root Beer Float Day. So we'll be doing these things Monday through Wednesday. We'll go through some of the same stuff. Monday through Wednesday. Listen to Amy's smiling voice here. So, right now, I am enjoying a root beer float on account of today is National Root Beer Float Day. So, during the next break, you guys all pop in the kitchen real quick, make your root beer float, and come back and join me. Mm-mm. I love root beer floats. All right. Let's move on here. Let me get one more bite of this. It's pretty good, okay? Mm-mm. Okay. I'm glad Root Beer Float Day came along when it did. Rights and Risk, you're welcome to join us, honey. We can make you one right quick if you want to come on over. I'm sure Amy would be tickled pink to make an extra one for you. And that goes for any of the rest of you. I probably shouldn't have said that. Now we'll have all the local people and be right over here. No, that's okay, too. Okay, let's move on here. Rights at Risk, we're going to make it up there and see you again one of these days. I'm not sure when it's going to be, but I'm going to make it happen. All right, let's get away from that disturbing news. Let me... MJantz? Really? MJantz doesn't like root beer. What all-American person, red-blooded person in the world doesn't like root beer? Unbelievable. Huh? MJantz. Said he never has liked root beer. I don't know. All right. Amy, that means I'm going to have two of them because MJantz ain't going to want one, so I'm going to have another one. MJantz, I'll take care of it for you, buddy. You know I'm there for you. There we go. Let's see. Oh, I need to tell everybody. I want to go on record publicly to say this because I don't want there to be any question, any mistake. I will tell you in no uncertain terms that me and mine stand by Israel, whatever they're doing. I don't care how what you think is wrong or how what you think they're doing wrong. We will stand by Israel until such time as they prove to us that we shouldn't for some reason. Are they killing people right now? Yes, they are. You know why? They're defending themselves. Because they're being attacked and have been attacked a lot for years. They are a peaceful people. But they're fighters. And if you cross them, it's probably not a good thing. Now, some people will say, and whether it's true or not, to me, is not relevant. It is somewhat, if it's true. I've seen stories both ways, both from what I consider reputable sources. And that is the fact that Israel and the United States created Hamas back to equalize things back in the 70s or so, early 80s, late mid-70s, I think it was. Okay, if they did, maybe they had a reason at the time, probably wasn't a good reason, but whatever the reason was, I'm sure that they had not planned to be attacked and be missiles sent in every 5 minutes for all this time. So they have sent these missiles over into Gaza. They have sent warnings into the people in Gaza and say, we're going to do this. So you'll make whatever arrangements you need to make, but here it comes. Everybody tries to make it sound that that Israel is purposely and joyfully killing civilians and kids. No, that's not the case at all. But in a war, that's what happens sometimes. That's what happened in the Revolutionary War. That's what happened in the Civil War. It's what happened in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea. It has always happened. It is unavoidable. It is it's extremely unfortunate. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. Well, I won't say nobody wants it to happen because I think that some of the people that they're fighting actually do. But no country will ever make everybody happy. There's always going to be somebody out there that says, you know, this country did this for this reason. No, they're doing it for oil. They're doing it for food. They're doing it for power. They're doing it for this and that and the other. And others will say, you know, they're doing it because they're protecting this country. They're doing it to protect themselves. You can find something on the internet to justify whatever you want it to do. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care what topic you're talking about. It can be guns, computers, golf, sex, books, tractors. Doesn't make any difference. You can find something to hold up, shore up your side, your view of the topic, your story. So we'll have to, for those that are opposed to that, I will support that, your right to think that way. It doesn't mean I have to agree with you. But until such time as somebody proves to me there's some reason why I shouldn't, my family and I will stand by Israel for whatever they're doing. Now then, with all that out of the way, let's go. As a matter of fact, how about this? I'm going to play a little deal here for you that may or may not help explain things for you. We'll try it and see how it works. If you don't like it, sorry, but we'll play it anyway. So stand by. This is going to take about 5 minutes. Right after this, we'll go right into a break. As soon as this thing gets going, if it gets going, there we go.
When I did my graduate study at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's. No recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, The Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem. I'm Dennis Prager.
I'll be back.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. rights that man is born with and has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They've been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pulling crossmen in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Made ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered to what I'd done. Hoops today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sailed. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
And we're back. I posted a little picture, a little video of a place where they're supposed to be showing all these dead people lined up on the street with white sheets over and something written in whatever language it is, Arabic or whatever. And somebody's videoing all this, and you can't see a couple of them in there can't wait any longer, have scratched their nose or something, to come find out that it appears like there's more than one, and probably all are in fact not dead at all. they have had some good people lay there covered up in their white sheets to try to show the world how many people have been killed. And, you know, there's no blood anywhere or anything. It's just that they're just doing it for the camera, it looks like. So pretty funny stuff. You know, there's a couple of issues here, and I don't even know where to begin on this Ebola thing. But whatever the reason, wherever it was created, whatever, we can get as mad and sad, horrified as we want. It's not going to change anything. Whether it was done on purpose, by accident, combination of the two, whether it is in fact biological warfare or a tragic accident, whatever it is, it's happening. And I'm going to promise you one thing, there is not one single damn thing that you can do about it. You can work on protecting yourself and your family, but it pays to be educated on this, but we won't, instead of spending a bunch of time worrying about how it started, what we need to do is worry about how to protect ourselves from it. So right now, right before our very eyes, what is happening is a scenario that I talked about, have talked about for 10 years. If, God forbid, anything like this were ever to happen in a large scale, how do we protect ourselves? Well, quite obviously, there's some things you do as far as what you touch, where you go, whether or not you wear, you know, I would suggest that you wear not necessarily surgical gloves, but rubber gloves. When you touch certain things, it may get to a point where we don't want to go to the grocery store. We don't want to now, just to, they give you that hand sanitizer, and they got these little wipes that you can wipe off the handles of the shopping baskets and stuff. Those are a feel-good measure. They might kill a few things. They damn sure don't kill everything. If it was that easy, then there would be little danger in surgery. You know, they have these, I forgot what you call them, where you sterilize the instruments and all this stuff, and they're in, 400 million degree heat for 8 hours or whatever the hell it is. If you could just wipe it down with a handy wipe that you buy at Walmart, it wouldn't require all of that. So they do autoclave. Thank you, M. Gents. So it's not that simple. Some of these diseases are very tenacious. And people, you know, they say that you can, a little bit of Clorox will purify your drinking water. Well, for the most part, it does. But Clorox is not 100% effective against tuberculosis or Giardia, two of the more common ones. And also two of the most debilitating if you get it. Giardia, not such long-term as tuberculosis, but still, it's no fun. So, I hate to sound like a broken record here. All of you won't agree with me. But I'm going to tell you the way it is. If you're not taking your silver, taking your colloidal silver, every freaking day of your life, I feel like you're putting yourself at risk. I've been saying for 10 years that when a biological or fungal or bacterial issue like this were to happen in this country, those of us with silver in our bodies already have a much, much higher chance of surviving than those that don't. I'm not going to tell you that you may not get some of this stuff and you may not get sick, it may not be close, but I will tell you without a doubt that I believe with all my heart that if you will make that silver properly and take it religiously, that you will have a greater chance of surviving than those that don't. Northwest Heavy, good for you. As well you should. Every day. People say, yeah, I've got some in the cabinet, and when we get sick, we take it. No! Stop! You take it every day, and you don't get sick. You don't wait till you get sick and then take it and see if you can get rid of it. That's just stupid. It's a hell of a lot easier to prevent something than it is to get rid of it. Don't let it happen to start with, and you won't have to worry about it as much. But you need to take it all the time. Be consistent. Made properly, it will not hurt you. I don't care how much of it you take, although there's no use taking any more than is necessary. I think if this Ebola thing gets to be any much worse, I'm going to tell my family to take it 2, maybe 3 times a day, every day. We take it every day already. Oh, I forget once in a while. You know, sometimes I may forget for a day or two in a row, but it's not my intention. I intend to take it every day. Anonymous 4625 just popped in. I don't know who you are or where you're at, but I'm glad you popped in here, and you're welcome. I'll tell you what I'll do in order, because most of the listeners here have heard me say this 1,000 times, so I'm going to put a little website up there for you, Anonymous. And I want you to go to, I put this up a long time ago. It's not being used very much anymore, but I leave it up because they're Northwest Heavy, be careful about recommending videos. They're, all videos are not the same. So I will give you, I'll tell you what I'll do. Sound like Jerry Clower. I know what I'll do. So I will run over here right quick, and I'll pick you up a video. It's not very good quality, but it's one that I made about 3 years ago, and shows you how to make this. Here it is right here. Stand by just a minute, and then I'm going to put a website up there for you where it explains it all in text. Okay, wait a minute. Let me take the S off of here. Okay, there is a video that explains how to make it. And if you go to the shooting bench, I can't type as fast as I can talk. Let's see here. http://theshootingbench.uku. That's perfect, Northwest Heavy. She knows. She learned from me, so that's okay. All right, Anonymous, here is a... let me put the rest of the instructions here. You go to the shootingbench.uku.com. You can just scroll down to... Whoops, that doesn't look right. Let me help you out here a little bit. You're going to scroll down to Survival Medicine. And then scroll to Colloidal Silver and click on that. Okay, there you go. There's a link to the website, and there's a, now I'll tell you, I don't know. Well, I do know. I'm not the world's leading foremost authority on this, but I've been taking it every day for 15 years. My family's been taking it every day for 15 years. All my kids have been taking it since they were born. I've probably turned on, not to mention the people that I don't even know that have looked at my videos and bought my book and all this kind of stuff, but I have personally turned on probably well over 500 people to this. I have had nothing but dramatic, significant reports of the benefits of the, of what this has done for people. There's been not one single derogatory remark negative report since I've been doing this 15 years ago? Let's see, it was 19. 99, 15 years ago. Is when we started taking it. So while there may be other, most of my information comes from, well, from a variety of sources, from a clinic in Albuquerque, from a clinic in California, from Dr. Robert Beck, from medical journals. I searched for literally for weeks on the information for this, and I believe in it like I believe in God. It's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to my family, short of God. So there you go. You can take that for what it's worth, but I'm going to tell you right now, that is the thing that I think will protect a lot of us from this Ebola. It's not magic, but it is the next closest thing. So let us continue here with something besides silver. In L.A., you guys may have seen this. I was talking with, you guys may have seen the new guy on the chat last night, Ranger03. There he is. He's in there right now. He's been in there for 2 minutes. Just popped in. We were talking today about how illiterate and lazy and the term stupid is a strong term. It's like hate, and a lot of people don't like to use it at all. But there is no other term for a lot of the people that exist in this country today. And a whole bunch of them right now are in Los Angeles. I searched and searched and looked to see if this was real, if it was satire, if it was, it's not. This is real. When Facebook crashed, these people called the cops. They called 911 because Facebook went down. You have got to be kidding me. You know, we have these, we've heard about the lady that called 911 because her french fries were cold or whatever it was. And Facebook, there's a message to come up said, sorry, something went wrong. We're working on getting this fixed as soon as we can. And these people call 911. You know what? The only thing dumber than this is the people that ask what the number is to 911. 911 was not set up because to call in case Facebook went down. It's actually what they would call an emergency number. People in Los Angeles, several people, not just one, not just one crackhead or some retard or something. It was several people, they said, called 911. Now, the sheriff's department, or the sergeant for the sheriff's department there, sent a tweet out. It says, Facebook, do you believe he had to do this? Facebook is not a law enforcement issue. Please don't call us about it being down. We don't know when Facebook will be back up. And the people who tried to get on Facebook around noon were met with this apology. Sorry, something went wrong. Yeah, we're trying to get it fixed. So, according to this sergeant in La Crescenta, California, has received several calls from dissatisfied Facebook users seeking a solution, although the exact number of phone-in complaints had not been tallied as of press time. Good grief. It should be able to count. Yeah, we had two people call in. We had one. We had four. Now, they don't even know yet how many people called in. Said, we get phone calls all the time, whether it be Facebook going down, people getting the wrong orders at fast food restaurants, cable TV went out. But with Facebook in particular, we get calls probably because it's such a widely used thing. Yeah, probably so. Now, one thing I didn't know, I knew Facebook was pretty big. I had no idea it was this big. Since it was founded in 2004, Facebook has evolved into the second most popular internet destination in the world, with over 1.3 billion users logging in every month. second only to Google. Now, we have World War III knocking on the door. Israel and Russia and everybody else going crazy. And we have this Ebola thing. We have the United Nations wanting to get involved in our border issues. We have border issues. We have economic problems, social problems. And we have to worry about people calling 911 for a Facebook going down. I don't know what else to say. I don't get it. But I was talking with Ranger today, and we were talking about Burner Corner, buddy. You way late. I was talking with Ranger about this. What brought the subject up was we looked at a sign over there. He saw a sign that the word wasn't spelled properly on. You know, when you put signs out in public, it would seem that you would probably make some attempt to, if you're not able to do it yourself, maybe have someone check it for you and see if the spelling is right or something. Or not. And I got talking, I said, you know, communication is a survival skill. He said, well, I'm not too good at math either. I said, well, math's not a survival skill. It's nice to know, and there'll be, you know, maybe once in a while something may come up where it may be relatively important, but probably not in an emergency type of way. For for anything that you do, but communication will be. Now you're trying to communicate to your family, to law enforcement, the authorities, rescue people. For team members to do, you're trying to meet somewhere, do something, you need a certain thing accomplished. You need to be able to relay that message or that thought and have it understood. You need to be done effectively so that people understand what you're saying. I see people, whether they're texting. How damn long does it take to put a period after a word, for crying out loud? Are you that lazy, really? You can take a comma out of many sentences and change the entire meaning of that sentence. When you don't put periods, you read the thing and you have to figure out, well, what the hell what was he talking about? You have to read it several times to figure it out. Come on! It's one thing to be talking that way, and this is what I talked about with Ranger. It may be one thing to be talking. You with the voice inflections and the pauses and the eye movements and stuff, you can tell. You don't, punctuation many times is taken care of in the way that you talk. It is not taken care of in the way that you write. If you don't figure out someone. You know, write's at risk. Another way to do it on those phones that it takes too long to put a period. Just hit your space twice. At least if you put a double space in there, at least maybe you have some idea that maybe something went there. But when you're typing on the chat room, this is I have griped about this before, and I know you guys think I'm a grammar Nazi. Okay, so be it. I am. But communication is a survival skill. If you're trying to get your family to someplace safe and they need to go a certain way or do a certain thing prior to them arriving, and you leave that comma out and it changes the entire meaning of it, and they wind up not getting there in time or getting killed because you didn't do it right. Come on, guys. We're grown-ups. We're some of the most illiterate people in the world now because of these stupid phones and everything. Come on. Let's suck it up here and try to do a little better at that. All right? That's my rant for the day. All right. Let's go on. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take a break. And when we get through taking this break, we'll be back. We'll talk about something else.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Join me in the Tinker Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy. He's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
Okay, we're back. Had a little small break there. I had a blonde I needed to kiss there for a minute before I come back on. So, all right. Let's see. We're gaining some reason. We got a bunch of anonymous popped in here all of a sudden. I'm glad you guys showed up. All right. Let's move on here. I'm going to let this professor explain something to you. And I'm not sure why, how people get this term, how this title, professor, exactly. But, in 5 minutes, this guy is going to tell you the best way to deal with open carry activists, people that open carry for political reasons. All right, let's check it out. Unbelievable. Come on. Let's go ahead and spit it out. Professor Jack Russell Weinstein.
Hi. I'm Jack Russell Weinstein, professor of philosophy Weinstein. And director of the Institute for Philosophy and Public Life at the University of North Dakota. I'm here today because I posted something on our blog, pqed.org, that went viral. Much to my surprise, 113,000 people shared it, and there were thousands of comments in response. I really wanted to talk as a philosopher about the gun rights debate, but most specifically, I wanted to talk about open carry activists, because for me, it's problematic. But I didn't just want to be a voice in the gun debate. I wanted to be a philosopher asking how to solve an intractable problem. What's the problem? There are gun carry activists, particularly in Texas, who want to go places like Target and restaurant and carry loaded guns, often high-powered automatic weapons. And then there are people who are scared of it and don't want to eat in a restaurant with people who are fully armed. Both of those positions may be understandable. So how, as a philosopher, do I deal with that? The answer I came up with respected both people's rights. The people in the restaurant who are uncomfortable just leave. But they're supposed to leave because they're afraid. And that leads to another philosophical problem. If you're afraid for your life, do you pay the tab? And my answer was no. My answer was, if you're afraid for your life, you just get up and leave. Maybe the restaurant pays the bill themselves, maybe the activists pay the bill. But in reality, if you're genuinely concerned that someone is going to shoot you, your spouse, and your kids, it makes no sense to pay the bill. I don't want to say that people freaked out because most of the people who commented on the blog supported it. And in fact, lots of people felt that this idea was a rational, safe, calm idea that respected everyone's right. But there were a group of gun activists who felt that this was theft, that this was taking advantage of a situation, and then ultimately that this was some form of discrimination and intolerance, that people didn't like gun owners and so they wanted to leave. How would it be if I didn't like an African American, or I didn't like a tall person, or I didn't like an immigrant? Would it be okay to leave then? And the answer I came up with in a different post was that it is completely different. First of all, it's not thievery. If you are leaving the restaurant because you don't want to pay the bill, then you're a thief. I'm a philosopher. I'm not talking about you. On the theoretical level, I'm concerned about your intentions. I'm concerned about what's going on in your head. If you leave because you're afraid, that's moral. If you leave because you don't want to pay the bill, that's not moral. If, however, you want to compare it to the history of discrimination, then that's not quite right. First of all, under the Constitution, we have protected groups. And traditionally marginalized people, women in this country, African American in this country, gays and lesbians in this country, If you leave because they're there and they're no threat to you, then that's a problem. Gun owners are not a protected group. The right to carry weapons, maybe, depending on where you are. The right to bear arms certainly is. But of course, the right to bear arms doesn't mean the right to bear every arm. It doesn't mean the right to bear all the arms. It only means the rights to bear arms. So, is it discrimination? I don't think so. Because gun rights activists do not have a history of institutional discrimination. They do not have a history of being denied the right to marry, being denied the right to go to school, being denied the right to vote. They haven't been slaves. They weren't subject to the Holocaust. They haven't been beaten in the streets. In fact, if you look at the history of guns in America, certainly in the last 15, 20 years, rights have expanded, not contracted. And so in the end, leaving because they make you uncomfortable and leaving because they're dangerous, or I should say they may be dangerous, is a rational response. And as a philosopher, that is what I am the most concerned with. How can we create a rational response to an intractable problem? I would love to know your answer. I'd love to have your feedback. So come visit pqed.org and look at the several different posts on guns, but in particular, look at how should we react to open carry activists? I think you'll find the responses really interesting, and I would love to hear what you have to say.
I'm thinking probably, Doc, that you wouldn't want to hear what I had to say, so, but I may go over and let you hear it anyway. All right, interesting take on that. Now, what he is, hey, old junkies just joined it. Queso's jumping. Queso, yeah, you and old junkies need to go to the corner. You're way late. But we're sure glad you made it in here anyway. So this guy is saying that it's kind of like a boycott. He's saying if you are in line and there's someone carrying a gun in there, that you should just set your stuff down and leave. Even after you have ordered your food, even after you have gotten a haircut, even after you have received the product or services that you came there to get, that's called stealing. He's advocating that you get up and leave no matter what. Hell, even we don't do that. I mean, we talk about boycotting people and doing things, getting up and leaving and doing whatever. But we don't advocate leaving somebody hanging with the bill after something has already been, after you've already received whatever it is you went there for. BB Burner, that's awesome. There's a statement right there where just moving the comma is the, it changes the meaning of everything. I rest my case. Thank you, BB Burner. That is exactly what I was talking about. In the first instance, a woman without her man is nothing. Or, if you move the commas, a woman, a woman, without her man is nothing. That's perfect. All right. Okay, rest my case. All right. Now I understand what he's trying to do. If you go into, let's say the barbershop, he said if you get a haircut, or a grocery store, you get enough people that, or a restaurant, the amount of people order food and it comes and sets on the table and you get up and leave. Now, number one, as I said, that's theft. But the second thing is, what they're hoping for is that when enough restaurants or a restaurant that allows open carry gets stiffed enough times on their food, that they'll say, you know, I don't want any damn guns in here because people are getting up and leaving their food. And we would not lower ourselves to that. We could say something equally as stupid and say, you know, that guy is not carrying a gun. I don't feel safe in here when there's not somebody here to watch my back if something happens. So, you know, I've already got my food, but now I don't feel safe, so I'm leaving. Would that not be the same thing? Yes. No, that would be the very same thing. So, but we wouldn't lower ourselves, I hope, to that level of idiocy. So let's, by the way, we've got a couple people here that might, mountain shooter, good point. Trying to find center ground? No, there's not any. For some of you that, BB Burner particularly, you probably didn't hear this notice, for the foreseeable future and until further notice, Living Way Out Here is no more. I regret to inform everyone that Amy's got this new job and she really likes it, and she's it's hard work, and she's out in the sun and everything, and she waits till after her show. It's already getting hot, and you know, it's just ruining her. So at least for now, there will be no Living Way Out Here in the mornings. What's going to happen though, to try to offset this a little bit? Amy is going to be on my show Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 8:30 to 9. We're going to have a half hour of her doing some of her same format, same thing she does, and a little bit of happy stuff. And right in the middle of my doom and gloom, she's going to take all my doom and gloom thunder away by coming on here with her pretty voice and saying something nice and pleasant. So for the time being, that's the way it's going to be. After the time changes, that BB Burner, she's tending some horses and she really loves it. So for the time being, maybe when the seasons change and it starts getting cold, that may change back to the way it was. We'll see what happens. But for the foreseeable future, she's going to be on from 8:30 to 9 on my show. And then Thursdays and Fridays, because we already have a full format with other things. And a lot of times I'm gone during those 2 days, you know, gone to the ranch or somewhere out of town. So that's not going to work for us. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, look for a shorter segment of Living Way Out Here right in the middle of the shooting bench. So, okay, now then. Oh, by the way, we have a once in a while we get a little bit of good news about things that are happening in court, in courts. But we just yesterday, we talked about this Border Patrol agent that went off fishing with his family. He was wearing his gun. Obviously, he wasn't fast enough on the draw here. Neither one of these two guys were shot. The Border Patrol agent was killed. His dad was shot. And so this young Border Patrol agent was denied seeing his family grow up. As a matter of fact, he was with his family. They were out fishing, and these two illegal aliens attacked him. And anyway, they got away scot-free. It's not scot-free, but they got away without being injured. They were captured. They were charged, jailed, and the judge has denied bond for them. So they will stay there until they get their trial. So that was a good thing. No amount of punishment, no amount of money, no amount of torture, nothing to do is going to bring that Border Patrol agent back. But hopefully they will at least get their just rewards for what they've done, at any rate. And then in that Queso, I wish, I know that you are equally, I know you're no more frustrated, but I'm sure you're at least equally frustrated with what's going on. I don't understand this whole foreign invasion of our southern border here. We have just opened this up. You guys saw the video clip of the Border Patrol agent where the guy says, Border Patrol agent says, "Are you a citizen?" And he said, "Yeah, what difference does it make now?" Or he said, "Does that really matter?" And the Border Patrol agent said, "No, unfortunately, not anymore." And Queso, you're probably, I've thought about that, and you're may very well be right. It's strictly trying to change the voting demographics here. But I don't care what the reason is. It doesn't make any difference what they're trying to do. What I want to know is why, with our Constitution and our you know, United States Code, Bill of Rights, legislation, statutes, all this stuff that we have, why does this continue? I know why they're doing it. So what? Why didn't it stop after 12 minutes? When we figured out what was going on here, they may be waging war. Maybe the Democrats are waging war in America. I don't care. There's got to be somebody in that in Congress somewhere that will say, "Hey, wait, look, here's the way it's written. Here's the law. Here's what we're supposed to do. Let's do it." In the absence of somebody in Congress to do that, what is the next logical step? American patriots need to take, get this country squared away, under control. Old junkie said neither one of the parties any good. Well, that may be true. So what that means at this point is that our Constitution is nothing. It means that it is null and void. Any rights that anyone perceives to have because of the Constitution is strictly now a perception. It may or may not be afforded to you depending on what will be best, what they figure is best for them. And if we, Ranger said, yeah, it's void to them. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's void to us. Because we're letting it. If nobody's going to support it, nobody's going to back it up. You know, one time that that guy said, matter of fact, I think I'll play it at next break, just because I haven't played it for a couple of weeks, I don't think. It is claimed that a high-ranking public official, depending on who you ask, some say it was George Bush, some say it was other ones, but said that the Constitution is nothing but a damn piece of paper. Well, I contend that that is exactly the truth. It means absolutely nothing, unless somebody's going to support it and back it up. A piece of paper cannot govern, help, fight, do anything for itself. This piece of paper, it's like a restraining order. Means absolutely nothing unless somebody is willing to obey what that piece of paper says on it. If somebody looks at the Constitution and says, that was just a piece of paper, wad it up and throw in the trash. Doesn't matter. That piece of paper cannot make me do what I don't want to do. I want to take over this country and let illegal aliens overrun the borders. I'm going to let Common Core in the schools, chemtrails, you name it. We're going to do it all, and that piece of paper can't stop me. And he's absolutely right. Unless American people look and say, hey, I'm going to take that piece of paper. I'm going to hold it up here for other people to see. I'm going to say, that was written to protect us from you. That is to give you your boundaries here, your guidelines. This is all that you're allowed to do. That's right, Anonymous. The flag is nothing but a piece of cloth. It's just a pretty piece of cloth. But it is our piece of cloth. That is our Constitution. that Constitution protects our rights, our country. As I said last night, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'll say it 1,000 more times. Until people start hurting enough, nothing's going to happen. As long as Starbucks is open, and Dancing with the Stars is on, and the EBT cards work, and debit cards are working, even if they have roadblocks going in and out of town, papers please, nobody's going to do anything until they start hurting enough. The sheep will be happy. Until such time as it becomes not just inconvenient, it's going to have to cost. When your kids are hungry, when you can't buy gas to, I've said it before, when you can't buy gas to get to town, can't put beer in the refrigerator, even, I dare say, and some of you will disagree, I think we'll be able to prove it, even if they were to tell you that either you can't go to church or that you must go to a particular church, I don't think people are going to do anything. As bad as that sounds right now, look at everything that has happened. Look at the rights that have been taken away in the last few years here. And we adjust our behavior and the things that we do and our spending and our travel and whatever we need to do to maintain, we create or accept a new normal. And once we get settled in and get comfortable with that, everything's fine. Started way back. Started back during the Civil War. Things coasted along there pretty well for a while. We got another real good taste of it in 1930, not to mention what started World War I and some of that, but look at 1934 and 1968. We just accepted a new normal. We just changed it. Well, that's the way it is, I guess. So, you know, that we'll just have to live with it. That's okay. We're not in jail. We got a job. Everything's fine. We're just some things we just can't do anymore. So this is our new normal. It's all right. And we'll continue to do that until we get to a point where they are, they're shooting, torturing, stealing, confiscating. But it's okay. Everything's going to be just fine. My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. what I'm about to tell you is. There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and the judge will raise a sniper. Finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
It was over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round.
There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, let's finish this up here and see what else we can come up with. I've got a, by the way, I don't know if you guys checked out this grandma here. Was 80 years old. Looks pretty good for an 80-year-old, actually. She was had a new hip right after surgery, and she's heard something going on downstairs. Realized it wasn't her husband, who was gone at the time, out playing bridge somewhere. So she grabbed her gun and went over to the steps. She said, "I don't know what was going on in my mind. Honestly, all I wanted was my gun. Really didn't want to have to shoot anybody." Sure enough, would-be robber smashed a glass door with a rock, cut the screen, and in he came. He figured he had it all figured out. She warned him, hollered at him, said she had a gun, but she called 911, and this is what they told her. They said, "Put the gun down. Put the gun down." And she said, "No, I'll put the gun down when I see the police." So here's an 80-year-old woman home by herself. 911 operator is telling her, "Put the gun down." And once again, one of many hundreds of times, we hear these stories where when seconds count, police are only minutes away. And a woman, or a man, anybody, needs to have that gun handy. So she definitely did the right thing. Let's see. She said the shouting at the guy seemed to have worked because the man or men were scared away. Police are investigating it. So she didn't have to shoot him. She had to, but she was absolutely prepared to. And that's a good thing. So remember to try to, if you're able to, join us tomorrow for the all gun related version of the Shooting Bench. And it will be brought to you, providing my truck runs okay and we're able to make it, it will be brought to you live and in living color from Schott's Ranch. And Friday night also will be brought to you from Schott's Ranch. However, it will be Liberty Lounge. It will be awesome country music and your awesome host, but it may be an archive. We have a lot of work to do. We have some training that we're going to be in the middle of. So I can't guarantee you that I'll be live Friday, but I can guarantee you that the Shooting Bench, the Liberty Lounge will go on as normal. So there you go. That is my promise to you. Also, once again, Amy will not be on in the morning. She will not be on again for a long time. So Monday through Wednesday, she'll be on right in the middle of my show. Second segment from 8:30 to 9 Pacific time, we'll get to hear Amy with an abbreviated version of her show. And until such time as it cools off enough that she's able to work in the morning or, you know, mid-morning without burning up, that's the way it's going to be. Sorry about that. Okay, now then, there is a... Let's see if this is it. No, that's not it. No, stop. That's not what I intended for you to do. All right, I got to go back and find the cotton picking story here. It's even an Arizona story. So give me just a second here and let me find that one. Here we go. All right. This is one of those, I'm gonna let them tell it to you. Always comes better right out of the horse's mouth here. So let's see if we can get this going here. Stand by just a minute. Come on.
He brought a loaded AR-15 rifle into Sky Harbor for one reason, to make a political point. Peter Steinmetz was arrested, but as of tonight, as of right now, the county attorney has not filed any charges.
Steinmetz is well-educated. He works at Barrow Neurological Institute and says he wanted to educate the public. Gia Vang with a news conference that has more people tonight discussing guns and open carry laws. Gia?
Well, come on, what happened to you? Great. That was sure fun while it lasted. I don't know if my computer's stuck here or just stupid. Tell you what, stand by here just a minute and I'm going to fix this.
He lay face down on the desert sand, clutching a six gun in his hand. Shot from behind, I thought he was dead, for under his heart was an ounce of lead. But a spark still burned, so I used my knife, and late that night, I saved the life of Ringo.
Ringo, Ringo.
I nursed him till the danger passed. The days went by, he mended fast. And then from dawn till setting sun, he practiced with that deadly gun. And hour on hour, I watched in awe. No human being could match the draw of Ringo. One day we rode the mountain crest, and I went east, and he went west. I took to law and wore a star, while he spread terror near and far. With lead and blood he gained such fame, all through the west they feared the name of Ringo. I knew someday I'd face the test, which one of us would be the best. And sure enough, the word came down that he was holed up in the town. I left the posse out in the street, and I went in alone to meet Ringo. They said my speed was next to none, but my lightning draw had just begun when I heard a blast that stung my wrist. The gun went flying from my fist, and I was looking down the bore of the deadly 44 of Ringo.
Ringo, Ringo.
They say that was the only time that anyone had seen him smile. He slowly lowered his gun, and then he said to me, "We're even, friend." And so at last I understood that there was still a spark of good in Ringo.
Ringo, Ringo.
I blocked the path of his retreat. He turned and stepped into the street. A dozen guns spit fire and lead. A moment later, he lay dead. The town began to shout and cheer. Nowhere was there shed a tear for Ringo.
Ringo.
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
All right, I hated to break in the middle of Lauren Green there, so I didn't get my sound thing fixed, so we'll just have to tell you the story. This doctor carried a loaded AR-15 into Sky Harbor Airport here in Phoenix, and only to make a political point. Now, if there was ever anybody that is all about making political points, I can poop in his britches right now. But there are ways to do it that are common sense and beneficial to our cause. There are ways to do it that are not beneficial and, in fact, could be detrimental to our cause. And carrying rifles in places like that, definitely not the time or the place. It's like all these idiots in Texas that were carrying their rifles down to the various restaurants and stuff. You know, it's just not the way to do it, man. They did more harm than good. They hurt us. They didn't prove anything. They didn't prove a point. They didn't further cause. They didn't make anything any better. They, in fact, made things substantially worse. Now my dogs are barking. I'm going to have to go out and shoot something. But, or somebody. Anyway, all right. Well, that's how that goes. Let's see here. They're still barking. They keep it up. You're going to have to excuse me while I go out and shoot something. I guess they quit. They either caught it and killed it, or give up on it. Okay, Shots Ranch coming up. We have this coming. I mean, next weekend, 16th, 17th, the hunting rifle class. It's a 2-day class, and we go over every conceivable facet of hunting that you can think of, except tracking. We don't get into tracking in that. We do have a tracking class. It's a day long class, but this class is for people. Actually, one of the guys that's taken this class is a doctor. He says, I've been hunting off and on for a majority of my life, but I'm just not worth a damn at it. I like to do it. It's fun, but I've never been very successful. I don't know what to do. So we're going to talk about some of the techniques and procedures and things to look for, things to do, shot placement, calibers, trajectory, long range, short range, scopes, sights, slings, maintenance, air travel, everything you can think. And we're even going to shoot some. Actually, we're going to shoot game, you know, photographic targets out to 500 yards. And try to get them to understand the purpose for shooting at 500 yards is not necessarily so that they can be successful at doing it. We can't teach them all that stuff in 2 days. The reason for doing it is to make them understand the seriousness of knowing your range and your caliber and your sights, and know how very far. We hear all these people, unsuccessful hunter problems comes down to going, that's true. We want them to know how frivolous it is to shoot at that range if you do not know your gun and your range well. You can be 50 yards off from your guesstimation, and you're not even going to be in the same zip code with that deer. If you don't know that range pretty well, know what your gun's going to do, then, you know, a lot of people have a really, really hard time estimating range. And you can take someone and You guys have all heard it down at the beer joint. Yeah, the deer was out there. I shot him. He was about 1,000 yards away. Oh, yeah? How far did you hold over his back? Just right at the hair line. You know what your gun sighted in. I sighted in 100. I always sight my guns in 100 yards. So, good night, old junkies. And that's just simply not true. You can, at that point, safely call them a liar, because that's not going to be a happening thing. I'm not saying they can't shoot them at 1,000 yards. They can. But if it's sighted in at 100 and they were holding it over at the top of their back, they didn't even get close enough to hear the bullet hit the ground. I try to limit my own. I've told you this before, but I try to limit mine to 400 yards. I've shot some a little over that, but my self-imposed limit is 400 yards. Now, I've shot coyotes and prairie dogs and stuff like that, you know, farther than that, but I won't shoot a big game. Yeah, Casper Mountain, that's that may be a safe thing to do, yeah. But there's a guy here that, and some of you have listened to me talk about this before, but there's several new people in here right now. So let's, if you know the answer, don't give it away. There's several new guys in here. If you, let's say theoretically, you're not going to do this, right? Because you're a better sportsman than this. But theoretically, let's say that you have a 30-06, 270, 7mm Magnum, and you see a fine record book bull elk standing out there. Let's drop it down. Let's say mule deer buck. Nice mule deer buck. You see him out there, you get your rangefinder out, and you do know for a fact that it is 1,000 yards away. Your gun sighted in for 200. How far, what is your drop going to be? If you're zeroed at 200, how far over that deer are you going to have to shoot to make it land in the boiler room when it gets there? Give me a quick guess. If you've heard me ask this question before, then just stand by and wait just a second. Let's see what kind of answers we get. Now, if I wait long enough, they'll pull up a ballistic program on the internet and give you the answer. No, it's not quite that far, mountain shooter. Although that's a better guess than a hell of a bunch of them I've seen, but the 50, that's a little bit far. It's about, depending on your bullet weight and speed, it's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of 27 feet. Now, that's going to change a little bit with elevation, barometric pressure, and like I said, bullet weight and velocity, and whether or not it's a boat tail and all that kind of stuff. But it's going to be somewhere between, let's say, between 26 and 30 feet. 30 feet, not 30 inches, 30 feet. The length of a, what's 30 feet long? I was going to say length of my pickup, but it's only about 22 feet long. So anyway, it's a long ways. Faster it is, you get a 300 Weatherby Magnum, it's going to be 24, 25 feet, somewhere in that neck of the woods. But you're not just going to aim at the hair on the top of his back. Now, for the most part, Doc, I would agree with you. For the most part. For the average shooter, even the above average shooter, I would say that you're absolutely right. But there are people out there, and there's one of them that lives right over here in Snowflake. I had him on the show with me a couple of years ago. They routinely, and with 100% reliability, shoot deer and whatnot in excess of 1,200 yards. I took his gun and did what he told me, and at 974 yards, shot a 2 3/4 inch three shot group. He and his son and his best friend do this all the time, every year. They go and find a comfortable place to sit, and when they find something out there, if it's a, I'll have to dig up that archive and play it for you again. But I wouldn't be quite so. They've done it with several calibers, Casper Mountain. The one that I shot was a 338 Edge. Amazing, amazing caliber. But they've done it with many, many standard calibers. Now, you can look at this as being unsportsmanlike the same way that somebody would say it's impossible to shoot at 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 yards with a handgun. Matter of fact, Jerry Michalak just did a video where he broke a balloon on a steel plate out there at 1,000 yards with a revolver. And I believe that he did it. I don't think it's, I believe it just fine. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to try to do the same thing here one of these days. But the people that say that you just can't do that with a handgun, it can be done. Would you recommend it for everybody out there? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot of people I wouldn't recommend shooting a deer over 200 yards. Whole lot of them. When you get out at that kind of range, you need to know everything. Wind, elevation, barometric pressure, temperature. You need to get all this stuff together. You need to have a chart. The anonymous 0376, I think that's what he was using, actually. That may have been what it was. The combo AK-57 Uzi radar laser triple barrel double scope heat seeking shotgun. That may have been what it was with high capacity clips. Yeah. The and yes, you would need at least a 30 MOA scope rings on that thing. Raising block on it. So anyway, that's a whole nother story. We could get into a whole big long deal about that. And actually, I'll tell you the truth, that's getting out of my league. I need to get that guy back on the show, or I will I'll find that archive and play it for you one Thursday night. I'll see how long it is. I might even do it tomorrow night. I don't think we did a full 2-hour show. I'll check on it. But anyhow, sometime here in the next week or two, I'll get that out for you. And if you're interested in extreme long range shooting, you should probably make an attempt to try to listen to this archive when I get it up there. It's very interesting. And if I hadn't shot that guy's gun and shot a group, smaller than a playing card at just under 1,000 yards, I would have said, you know, this guy says he can do this, but I'm not sure. Well, I've seen him shoot. I've been out there with him, and I am absolutely 100% convinced that everything that he tells me is the truth. So, with that being said, I think I'm going to ease over towards the door over here and get on out, and I will not see you in the morning because of one last time, just in case there's anybody that hasn't heard this, and Casper Mountain may be one of them, Doc's another one. If you haven't heard it, Amy will be no longer be on in the mornings. Sorry to say this, we're all going to miss her, but she's got a job that she truly loves, and she's got to get it started a little earlier. She just can't do it anymore. But Monday through Wednesday, she's going to be on the shooting bench from 8:30 to 9 Pacific time. That'll be the second segment of the show with the same type of stuff that she does in the morning. So don't miss that. And that'll be something that everybody likes, girls and guys alike, like to hear Amy's input here. So that will be starting on Monday. All right. Good night. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
Thank you.